It's Wednesday and time for Current State's Neighbors in Action segment, where we feature people and organizations working to make our community a better place. Today we feature Lansing's Refugee Development Center, which provides comprehensive services to youth and adults from the area's 40-plus refugee communities. Here to tell us more is Shireen Timms, the center's executive director. Welcome to Current State, Shireen.
Thank you.
I think many people are aware the Lansing area has been a place where refugees have resettled for really for quite a few years. Can you give us a sense of about how many and where these folks come from? I know it tends to vary depending on what's going on elsewhere in the world, but give us a larger sense of that.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Lansing has been welcoming refugees really since the 1970s. It started with the Hmong, and then many other populations have come since then. We average about 600 to 700 refugees a year coming into this area, and they come from all over the world. Most recently, the highest populations have come from Burma, from Nepal, from Bhutan, they're ethnic Nepali, from Somalia, Iraq, the Congo is now picking up, Sudan, so.
Unstable places in the world.
Yeah, so the term refugee is actually a legal term, and it's used to define people who cannot return home for fear of persecution. And there's five categories of persecution, so they are people that have been on the run for their life.
But still, why Lansing? Why has Lansing become such a destination?
Mm-hmm. We get asked that all the time.
Besides your great work,
I'm sure you play a role in this. It's a great community. There are resettlement towns all over the United States. So there is a federal program that welcomes refugees and from there connects them to local communities. So we're one of many communities across the nation. Lansing has been a destination for a number of reasons. One, it has historically been a place that has been welcoming of newcomers. Number two, it has been a place where they've been able to secure employment. The cost of living is not as high as some of the immigrant hubs across the nation. So, and then from there, as you say, then the community has developed resources and services around that population, and they've been able to make it a home.
Well, it can obviously be a challenging transition, to say the least. What are some of the more common difficulties many refugees face when they get here?
Mm-hmm. It varies, of course, and some of it has to do with at what point in their resettlement they're here. Certainly when they first come, the chief ones they typically identify are language and transportation. So our English classes are filled. We typically run waiting lists. People really understand the importance of learning English and want to be able to speak English. And then, of course, getting around is critical because they need to get to their jobs. They need to help their children get around and to and from school sometimes. So those are typically, in the beginning, the challenges. As the years go on, that can continue because it takes a long time to learn a language. But then from there, as you kind of stay with them, you hear a lot about some of the challenges around how their children are adjusting to the culture and learning the language, sometimes out ahead of the parents. And then the challenge of the parents is to make sure that they actually stay ahead of the children and can continue to guide them towards making good choices.
But you earlier suggested that the community tends to be quite hospitable.
Mm-hmm.
in general. How are these refugees received by government entities, by say the law enforcement?
Yeah, one of the things that I have found really encouraging over the last number of years are the number of partnerships that we've been able to create. Not we as a community, and the Refugee Development Center has been very fortunate to be a part of that. Of course, in any community, there are challenges that come up and things that happen. But what has been so encouraging is we've built partnerships and relationships with one another that literally we're a cell phone call away from each other. So as things happen or as one entity in the city has a challenge, it's very common that the school district will contact us, will contact resettlement agencies. The police are looped into that. The city is looped into that. Property managers are looped into that. So it's like any other place, and there are challenges as there are anywhere. But again, the collaboration is really high.
We're talking with Shireen Timms. She's the executive director of Lansing's Refugee Development Center here on Current State's Neighbors in Action. Talk to us a little bit more about the services you provide. What do you offer for adults, let's say? You alluded to language and transportation before. Give us a couple more.
Yeah, so the mission of the RDC is to provide educational opportunities for refugees and immigrants. We also serve low-income immigrants as well. And that came out of their expressed desire to access educational opportunities. That was what refugees and immigrants said was most critical in helping them become self-sufficient. So that became the mission of the RDC. And from there, for adults, we have been able, fortunately, to offer ESL classes. We have four levels of English available to them. We do home visits for all new arrivals, so visit them with interpreters and do an orientation on the school system, on life in America, some of the things that are important for them to know as they move here. We have a women's sewing circle that we do in partnership with St. Vincent Catholic Charities, which is an opportunity for women to come together and sew for a few hours. And then layered on top of that is a support group that helps them with issues of trauma. Many of them have been traumatized prior to coming here. Also educational opportunities to help them adjust to life here. So that's, in general, our adult services.
A gentleman from Iraq was supposed to join us here this morning. He's raising three children on his own here, and unfortunately the weather got in the way, which again gets back to transportation. How many of these folks, how many of the adults are you able to help to drive, for example?
So driving has been something that the population has talked about, and it is very unfortunate that Dia could not be here. He is an incredible example of someone who has been resilient and made a life here with his children. And yes, driving is a problem. We have had a driving simulator to help folks learn a little bit about driving. We also, another partnership that we feel really encouraged by is with CATA. For example, CATA was willing to put an extra bus stop at one of our ESL locations, not a bus stop, to add extra routes to the Hill Center location because of our evening classes. So it's always great when people can learn to drive, but we also recognize the importance of public transportation in helping people get around.
What's the most memorable story you might be able to share with us of someone you have helped that really captures why you do what you do?
There's so many.
How long have you been at this?
I started as a volunteer with St. Vincent Catholic Charities in 2001, mm-hmm. And then did that until 2007 when I became director of the RDC. And there are hundreds of stories. I think one of the most memorable had nothing to do with me. It speaks to the population, which is why I love this work. But it's a story about the newcomer soccer team, which we do in partnership with the Lansing Soccer Club. And we have a boy on the team who isn't necessarily the greatest soccer player, but enjoys it, and it's really important for him to have a support piece in his life. This soccer team, when it first started, was not so successful in terms of scoring goals and winning games. And in fact, last year they lost quite a number of games. And I remember driving the boy home and went into the house, and his father was not so sure that this was a great opportunity for his son, because I think he felt like it was putting these kids in a situation where they were encountering one more failure, and he felt protective of his son, which I really understood. And in fact, I was there to talk to him a little bit about that, but coincidentally, that was also the day that this team scored their first goal and won their game. And so I went in and I started started with that. And I said, great news. I said, they won their game. And this father picked up his child and spun him around and hugged him. And from there, we talked about the importance of hard work and sticking to a goal and perseverance. And so that soccer experience became a metaphor for what they value so much, which is perseverance and tenacity. And to see a father sort of pick up his son and encourage him in that way was incredibly moving.
It sounds special. Briefly, where does your funding come from?
It's diverse. We certainly need donations, and so that is a big source of how we are able to provide services. We have foundation grants, and then state and local entities have also been supportive of our services, which we're very grateful for.
And if people want to help you out, want to volunteer,
yes.
Where do they go? What do they do?
Best thing to do is visit our website, which is refugeedevelopmentcenter.org, and there's a connection there. We are deeply, deeply grateful to our volunteers. We had over 200 volunteers last year who helped provide direct services to newcomers. We couldn't do it without them.
Shireen Timms is the Executive Director of the Refugee Development Center here in Lansing. Thank you very much for joining us today. Good luck.
Thank you.
We could always use more nominations, and we know there are people and organizations out there doing great work just like the Refugee Development Center, but we need to know about them. Help us out. Tweet us suggestions at KAR Current State or send us an email to currentstate@wkar.org. Put Neighbors in Action in the subject line and tell us why you think they should be featured for the great work that they do. That's our show for today. Coming up tomorrow on Current State, we'll speak with Samantha Harris, author of The Fighting Malevolent Spirits, A Demonologist's Darkest Encounters. Also, we'll have another book review from our contributor, Scott Southard, that and more tomorrow on Current State. We appreciate your listening. I'm Mark Bayshore. You've been listening to Current State on 90.5 WKAR.